Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and motivated by what you hear tonight. If you would like to join other listeners in the live chat room, go to www.wingsofprophecy.com and click on the live chat tab. Now here's your host, Glenda Lankus.
Good evening, listeners. Thank you for tuning in to the Wings Radio program. I'm your host, Glenda Lankus. Tonight, we are going to be talking about the definition of a Christian. And I'm also going to have something prophetic to share with you. And to start out with, I want, for the ones who have not yet heard it, I want to share a word the Lord gave me on Wednesday, March 26, called Before All Hope Is Gone. And this word can be found in its entirety on the wingsofprophecy.com website. It is of the utmost importance that my people remain in their, and I put in parentheses physical because that's what God was showing me, places now for safety's sake. Do not move unless you are directed to by me, my people, for I have moved my own where they will be most protected from what lies just ahead. Many of you are being tempted by the evil one to move for reasons you think are me, but I tell you truly, they are not of me. My people must be able to discern my voice in times coming, or their lives shall be cut short by deception. I desire you would live long on the earth doing my kingdom work, my children. I desire you would help evangelize those who are still lost in the world before it is too late, before all hope is gone. And in parentheses, I put the end of time because that's what I was seeing. Some of my children are busy with work for my kingdom, and in you I am well pleased. Carry on, my people, for you shall not be unrewarded for your much obedience and the sacrifices you have made to serve me. I always reward those who work for me. Keep your eyes on me and on my son's great sacrifice. Fill your hearts with my word, not the filth of the world around you. Keep your thoughts holy and pleasing unto me. Your time of no more sorrows is coming soon. And that, of course, is heaven. Okay, so I wanted to share that with those of you who have not heard the word yet. You can subscribe to those prophetic words, and you'll get an email with any new word that is released if you're interested at wingsofprophecy.com. Did y'all know one of my favorite preachers passed away in February, and I didn't know it until today, Charles Capps. He wrote a book called The Creative Power of the Tongue, which is an excellent, excellent book about the power of your words. And he told his family that he was going to pass away in 3 days and that he wanted to go in his sleep. And 3 days later, he went to sleep and he didn't wake up. And, of course, his family is celebrating that he got promoted to heaven. But his teachings were very biblically sound and very good. So I used to listen to him a lot. And I still have a lot of his stuff. Anyway, for anyone who didn't know, Charles Capps Ministries, his family's carrying it on, but he's been promoted. Okay, now, over the past year, I've been working on several different books. One of them, over the last few months, is a book about the power of words, which I hope to make available to you all soon. There is great power in your words. The greatest power in words is in His Word. I read the Word, I receive words, I live and breathe the Word, and I believe every word that Jesus spoke. I believe every word that's in the Bible. I'm a Christian. Nearly every week, in doing the work that I'm assigned and preparing the show, I'll look up in the dictionary a specific word or words, and to get a better understanding of their meanings. But for a complete understanding, I define those definitions by His Word, because all truth is found in His Word. Earlier this week, we were working on an entirely different show, But I was led to scriptures that define the word Christian. I want to read you the second part of Acts 11:26. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The word or the name Christian in this scripture is talking about Barnabas when he went seeking Saul. In verse 24 it says, "For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." Who Barnabas was the same as that which he did, literally one and the same. Now, we're not normally, we say that our who and our do is not the same normally in life. You know, if I'm working as a landman, because that's what I do, doesn't mean that's who I am. But in the case of Christian, they're both the same. In the footnote of one of the Bibles I was studying, it says, the term Christian was probably applied to those disciples in Syria and Antioch by the city's non-Christian population, possibly as a derogatory label meaning little messiahs or belonging to Christ. So that's how the word or the name Christian was first used or applied, but what does it mean now? What does it mean to us today? How many of you would agree that the label Christian is used rather loosely in many circles now? I wonder, too, would we use the label Christian very loosely if people were being martyred for being a Christian in America? I mean, if you know that you could be killed for your faith, you're not going to take that name lightly, are you? What is our definition of a Christian? Does it define us, or do we define it? Definition of Christian. This one's from the American Heritage Dictionary. Number one, these are kind of adjectives. Professing a belief in Jesus Christ or following the religion based on the life and teachings of Jesus. Number two, relating to or derived from Jesus. Number three, manifesting the qualities or spirit of Jesus. Number four, relating to or characteristic of Christianity. And I really like number five, showing a loving concern for others. Okay, here are the nouns. Number one, one who professes belief in Jesus Christ or follows the Christian religion. Number two, one who lives according to the teachings of Jesus. These definitions are one and the same as a Christian. What you are is what you do, and what you do is who you are. We are defined by our actions, and our actions define us. That made me think of the scripture, faith without works is dead. In Antioch, some of the people used that word Christian in a derogatory, mocking manner. And while they might have meant it as little messiah, it actually does mean belonging to Christ. I'm sure they did not even begin to understand the power in that word or that name. They didn't understand that we do share his name. We take on his name, just like I took on my husband's name when I married him. In that time, the notion of a name had a significance that it kind of doesn't have anymore. When a person gave his name to another, back then, it signified the joining of the two in close unity, like when God gave his name to Israel in Deuteronomy 28:9-10. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. To be baptized in someone's name accordingly meant to pass into new ownership. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Acts 8:16, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, talking about the Holy Ghost, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:15, Paul said this, lest any should say I had baptized in my own name. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we take His name as our own, we are joined in close unity. And when we are baptized in His name, we actually do pass into new ownership. We belong to Him. We have been bought with His shed blood. And, you know, someone said, or I read somewhere, that the reason God's Spirit inhabits those of us who are redeemed is because He wanted to be as close to us as possible. I thought that was just so beautiful. And here's something else, too. Once you belong to Him, God always comes after what's His own. So if you run the other way, and there's a man listening to me right now, and you have been running the other way, God says, He says, you've been running from Him, you drink, and you don't want to give that up. Yeah, stop and listen, because this is for you, sir. The Lord says He is going to stop you. Either you stop on your own, or He's going to stop your running. And I get the impression it's not going to be a real pretty thing, so if I were you, I would just stop. But He said, you are His. He's not going to let you get away. Okay. So if you're running from the Lord, stop running. Turn around, go back, and let Him fix whatever's wrong in your life, because He can fix it. So going back to that time and to the significance of things, Israelite parents often chose their child's name based upon the circumstances surrounding the birth or the words spoken near the time of birth. Okay, now here's two examples I can think of right off the top of my head. Moses, which means taken out of the water, I think, and Gershom, which was Moses' son, which meant I've been a stranger in a strange land. And Moses had fled Egypt by that time. But another example of this is God naming His own son Jesus. The name Jesus is the Greek version of Joshua, meaning He saves. And His purpose is the same as His name, to save people from their sins. Because, you know, we don't think about it that much anymore. They thought about it a lot more in the past, I think, because sin is so common now. And it's really a shame that it is, but it is. If someone did not stop you from sinning, eventually your sin will destroy you. The wages of sin is always death. And every sin has the intent of destroying you. But, you know, we don't think about that very much. I mean, I used to drink and party. And by now, if I had not given my life to Christ, if God had not come after me, I could have died in a drunk driving accident or, I mean, who knows what. Matthew 1:20-21, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We were given the name Christian by the Syrian Antiochs, who didn't believe, but really we're given it by Jesus, in whom we believe. We are called Christian based upon the circumstances of our hearts and the rebirth of our spirits in His name. Going back to Antioch for just a minute, and to Barnabas, his name means son of consolation. Some translations say son of encouragement, which I think is really beautiful. Where Barnabas first appears in Jerusalem, he is cited as an outstanding example of generosity. Here's Acts 4:32-37. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. When Saul of Tarsus was converted, it was Barnabas who introduced him to the apostles in Acts 9:27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Saul, we know, was not a good guy, to say the least. But through Barnabas and through the apostles, after hanging out with them, he became better by watching Barnabas and the others. Saul died, and Paul was born. Barnabas and Saul, it was them on the first missionary journey doing the Lord's work and representing His will that the name Christian first came. Sure, some people in Antioch meant it in a bad way, but the undeniable truth is who they were was defined by what they were doing. And what they did was defined by who they were, Christians. They got the name by doing His work. When I met my husband, I was a Christian, and he was, well, to put it mildly, not. It was both what I did and who I was that Jerry said he fell in love with. It was me, a Christian. And, you know, I never tried really to push God on Jerry, but I continued to just be who I was. And so God is a normal part of my conversation, has been ever since I was saved. And I didn't suppress any of that. And he saw something there that he wanted. And that seed was planted all those years ago. And I mean, I prayed for him to get saved, but, you know, he didn't show any interest then. But whoever you're praying for, keep praying for him. But, you know, let him see the walk. I never really tried to get Jerry to consider God. I was just me. I didn't hide my relationship with God. I didn't hide how I lived from Him. He says that I was bold and resolute and faithful. And the girl that God sent to witness to me, the little 15-year-old girl, her name was Victoria. She was very bold, very resolute, very faithful, and I saw joy and peace in her. She was happy. She was a Christian, and she was happy about it. And I had not seen that before. And, you know, we must all witness, but we need to remember continually that our lives are the louder witness of what we truly believe and in whom, Christ or Satan, the world's way or ourselves. And any time that there is a conflict between our words and our actions, it is always our actions which will be believed, always. So if you have been trying to witness to someone you love for years, stop and think back to what your life has been saying to them. Very often that is the problem. That was the problem why I didn't get saved sooner. It's not that you have to be perfect, but everything about you should say Jesus in some way. The way you do your job, we're supposed to do everything as unto the Lord. The way you dress, especially us ladies. What you do after work and on the weekends for fun or recreation, and the way you treat people, the way you talk and the way you walk. Come on, y'all. The things you do and the things you don't. Do not expect others to respect your faith if you don't. If you don't respect your God, how can you expect someone else to respect your faith in Him? What do your actions and the way you conduct your life say to others about whether you're a Christian or not? We really need to think about this, y'all. Because we represent Him. Unbelievers aren't going to read a Bible. They're going to read us. Can I just tell you that? They are going to read us. And if they don't see something in our lives that they want, then they're probably going to stay unbelievers. They're not even going to be curious about our God, because why should they? We don't have anything they don't have. If we don't have joy and peace and, you know, then why would they want what we have? They are not going to read your Bible. They are going to read you. So you better be sure that what they're reading in your life shows them what's in the Bible is true. Because if it doesn't, you will be held accountable for the witness that you gave, because the witnesses better be of Jesus. If it's not, guess who it's of? Okay. Give that some thought. We share the same name as Him. We are joined in close unity with Jesus. My husband and I share the same name. We are joined in close unity. The only way we could be any closer is if he was home right now. And now together we are under new ownership. And we are on a missionary journey, on a journey to define his word in the lives of others and to divine our lives by God's word. That's our goal. The definition of a Christian you can look up in 1,000 different books, but there is only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. Lord, I lift up every listener within the sound of my voice to you right now. We call on your name, Jesus, and ask that you would guide us on this journey. Guide us in our walk, in our lives, in all of our ways. Lord, your word says to lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge you, and you will direct our paths. Some of us don't get direction, Lord, because we're not acknowledging you in all of our ways. Maybe on our job we're not acknowledging you. Maybe in the way we dress we're not acknowledging you. Maybe the way we treat people is not acknowledging you. So we ask, Lord, that you would help every part of our lives to come into line with your word and your ways. Help us to define our lives by your word, and help us to define our belief in your word with the way we live our lives. Help us to be bold, resolute, and open about our belief in you. Your word says that if we deny you to men, you will deny us to the Father. We don't want you to deny us when we get to heaven, Lord. We want to hear you say, well done. Right now, Lord, I pray every listener, any listener who has not received the Holy Spirit, I pray that they would receive the Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Everyone who wants it, as if I were laying hands on them right now, Lord. We pray, Father, for boldness, and we pray for opportunities to witness of your great healing power in this broken world. We know, Lord, that there is none so magnificent and so powerful as you. We know there is no other name by which men can be saved but the precious name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to share what we know with others, so they may find the path of salvation, Lord. Help us to be bold in witnessing of your great love while there is yet time, because the end is so near and so many are not yet saved. Give us opportunities, Lord, everywhere we go. Put us in places where your truth needs to be told, and fill our mouths with your word and our testimony. Help us to labor together with you to help you win this lost world, Lord. For soon we're coming home to you, and we desire to hear you say, well done, when we arrive home. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for tuning in and listening. I pray that you have a very blessed and prosperous week. I'm working hard on some new books to bring to you soon, and Jerry is working on the completion of his first children's book, and he's doing all the illustrations of it. And the children's book is a spin on our story, and it's really cute. I've seen some of the artwork from it. It's really cute. And as soon as he finishes it, we'll be putting that out. All our books are available on Amazon.com and on the Wing site, wingsofprophecy.com, in the bookstore. For those of you who have not read any of the curse breaking series, if you have sin in your life and you are trying to get free of it, I highly recommend this curse breaking series, because it was God who revealed the curses that were on my life, and it has just given me so much freedom, y'all. And I've gotten so many testimonies of others who've broken the curses and gotten freedom, or the curse off of their finances, and they started increasing because they came out from under the curse of poverty. Or they broke the curse of infirmity, and now they're not sick all the time, like what happened to me. So the curse-breaking series, I think there's 12 or 13 of those right now. There's still several more that are not completed yet, and I'll be doing shows on those in the future. And the curse of abuse is one of them that we'll be doing in the future, but I don't have it finished yet. So I'm working on them and praying for more revelation. If y'all have any ideas of something you would like to hear a show about, send me an email, wingsofprophecy@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. If this show has touched you in any way, we'd love to hear from you. Or send us an email if you just need prayer. Tune in again next week, same station, same time. God bless you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio tonight. We hope that you have been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any church or nonprofit organization.